Angels have done many amazing things through the centuries, but Skip Heitzig says during history's last chapter, they'll do something new.
It's a phenomenon never seen before in the world where angelic beings would appear and give a message universally to everyone who dwells on the planet. That's never happened. There have been a number of angel sightings that people attest to. There have been some real biblical sightings, but never before has a group of angels given messages from heaven to the earth to everyone who dwells on it. You might say that they set the record straight, that they rectify, they correct the wrong thinking that people have, the false ideas that people have had for a long time.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
If you've ever played the game Telephone, where one person whispers a message to someone and that message is whispered down a line of people until it reaches the end and you see if that message has stayed the same, you know that when you get information second, third, and even fourth hand, it isn't always the most reliable information. Well, as we'll find out today in The Connection with Skip Heitzig, there's a day coming when God will make His message to humanity very clear as it's delivered directly from heaven. Before we get to that, though, if you missed our first Friday program this month, Skip Heitzig spent some time in studio with music legend Richie Furay, and here's just a sample of what they covered.
I don't want to sound cliche on this, Skip, but it's really true from my life. When Poco got started, I'd been married for a couple years, and then a few more years into that, my marriage was breaking up, and I had to start looking at something that was realistic in my life. What is it? Because there is no substance to it. You are living in kind of like a dream world. You're living in a fantasy world when you're in that peace, love, dove, and isn't everything groovy? And let's take another hit off the joint, and it's like you're just kind of floating in air. But then when reality sets in, then you got to start looking around. You got to start looking deeper.
Now, if you'd like to hear more from this month's First Friday interview with Skip and Richie Furay, be sure to visit our website at connectionradio.org, where you can download that entire program. Right now, grab your Bibles and join us as we learn a little bit more about what lies in store for us during history's last chapter.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. Let's begin today's study with Skip Heitzig as he talks about political correctness.
In modern times, people have to be very careful what they say to other people. We have to be sensitive. We have to be politically correct, is the term. I was given for Christmas a little book called The Politically Correct Dictionary and Handbook, and I was enlightened. I've been saying all the things wrong. And this book tells me how to communicate now. What words are appropriate now? For instance, you should no longer use the word pet to describe whatever animal you have at home, but you use the words non-human animal companion. And instead of the word bald, you use follically challenged. Rather than saying dead, it's now appropriate to say terminally inconvenienced. Rather than calling someone drunk, the word sobriety deprived is now in vogue. Rather than saying he's old, you say he's chronologically gifted. And no longer do we call people in prison prisoners, but he is a client of the correctional system. Rather than stupid, which isn't a good word anyway, the words cerebrally challenged are appropriate. And rather than using the word wife, what is now appropriate in this day and age is domestic incarceration survivor. The result is we have a generation of people who are afraid to say anything because everything will offend someone. Even God's people, rather than just saying it like it is, are afraid to say anything in the name of being sensitive. Well, in the tribulation period, three angels come on the scene who really aren't cared about what is politically correct language, rather what is spiritually correct. They come on the scene and they have a message from God to deliver to the entire earth. These are the words of heaven speaking to everyone who dwells on the earth. It's a phenomenon never seen before in the world where angelic beings would appear and give a message universally to everyone who dwells on the planet. That's never happened. There have been a number of angel sightings that people attest to. There have been some real biblical sightings. But never before has a group of angels given messages from heaven to the earth to everyone who dwells on it. You might say that they set the record straight, that they rectify, they correct the wrong thinking that people have, the false ideas that people have had for a long time. I was reading and rereading these verses this week, and I was just looking at how it was put together and what the messages were, and I'm looking at it to outline it and see how it fits together, and I realized something I'd never seen before. Almost every single thing the angels say is directly opposed to the philosophies and the assumptions of mankind. Almost everything that comes out of the angel's mouth contradicts what many believe today. People have assumptions about the gospel, about man's origin, about Satan, about death, about eternity. The angel talks about these things, all of them do, even the voice from heaven. And it contradicts what people believe in today. Which goes to show that man cannot come up with right concepts about God or these issues apart from God revealing it to them. Apart from revelation, man is left with assumption. And as we've noted and noticed as we look around in society, people today are becoming more spiritual. But the kind of spirituality that people are into is not the spirituality of God's revelation. Rather, it's the spirituality of how I feel about something. Well, I picture God as, and I think in my view is, and it's sort of like construct your own God-ism. In Kyoto, Japan, there is an interesting temple. It's called the Temple of 1,000 Buddhas. And inside there are 1,000 different images, all different from one another, of Buddha. The idea is the worshiper goes in and finds the face that most resembles himself and worships that image. That's basically what people do today. They find the philosophy or image of God that best works with them, not according to revelation, and they worship that. Now, as we look at these verses, I did this week, I wondered about all those people who say, well, religion is a private thing. You don't discuss it publicly. I wonder how they will fare with this episode as three angels talk very publicly about these issues so that everyone in the world will hear. Now, we know that angels are active. We've seen that in the Bible. In the giving of the law, they were active. The book of Hebrews tells us that angels are ministering spirits who presently help those who are heirs of salvation. We see them very active in the end times. The book of Revelation has angels. From chapter 1 through chapter 14, they are mentioned in every single chapter, except chapter 13. They're very active in God's plan and carrying out God's plan. We saw them ministering God's will, fighting demon hordes, enacting judgments, and now giving messages from God. Angels will appear, not in the outfield, but in the heavens. And everyone will see them. Now, the only angel I ever met, I married. I want to say that right off the bat. She is my wife. Or I should say my domestic incarceration survivor. but I have never met an angel in the biblical sense, as far as I know. I may have, but I don't know that I have. Let's look at these verses then. Verses 6 through 11 are announcements of tribulation. And then verses 12 and 13 is an announcement of triumph. Announcements of tribulation, angels give out announcements. And finally, there is a voice from heaven, an announcement of triumph. In the first announcement of tribulation, there is an angel that preaches salvation. Verse 6, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. The first angel is a preacher. And his pulpit is the firmament of heaven out of the reach of man. No one can shut this guy up. Now, sometimes the last thing people want to hear is preaching, right? And today people can turn off the television or change channels on the radio or walk out of the service or throw away the book. They won't be able to get out of this one. Beyond the reach of anyone or anything, an angel is flying through the heavens preaching the everlasting gospel. Throughout history, there have been times when man could silence God's preachers. They could kill them. They could banish them. And in the tribulation period, they will martyr many of them. But here's one they are not able to touch. Now, Paul was in prison one time. He wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to Timothy. And here is Paul, a preacher. You know, he wanted to get out and he wanted to proclaim the gospel, and he felt he couldn't do it. And he was right. He couldn't do it in that sense. But he wrote these words to Timothy, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God has not chained. The word of God is not chained. I'm chained, but God's word isn't chained. And there will never be a time where that's more true than in the tribulation period when these angels fly through heaven and preach the gospel. Now, they've never done that. This is unique. This is a phenomenon that has never occurred. Angels have never preached the gospel to the earth. They've never flown through heaven with a little PA system or a megaphone and said, repent, get right with God. I'm sure there are many times when they wanted to do it. I'm sure in looking at us, in our attempts, in our efforts, or our lack of diligence in getting the gospel out, they've probably thought many times they'd like to just move us over and do it right. But they haven't done it. Remember in the book of Acts, a guy by the name of Cornelius, he's a Roman soldier, and he prays every single day. He wants to know who God is. He wants to know the truth. And an angel appears to him. And the angel says, Cornelius, send a group of men to Joppa and call on a guy by the name of Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he's at this house. And he'll come and tell you what to do. And so an entourage has to be sent out to Joppa, bring Peter back, and Peter shares the gospel with him. Now, why doesn't the angel who appeared tell Cornelius the gospel? Why go through all of the rigmarole to send Peter? Because that's not the commission of angels. That's the commission of men and women. That's our privilege. The angels don't preach the gospel until here. We do it. Remember that next time you are wondering, should I share the gospel with this person or not? Remember, this is the last chance you'll get. You'll never be able to share the gospel with people. You'll never be able to witness in heaven. Who are you going to share with? What unbelievers will you find there? Will you go up to Peter or John or James and say, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Would you mind reading this tract? This is the last chance you get at it, the earth. It's the commission of men and women to go preach the gospel. This angel, it says, is flying in the midst of heaven, or literally in mid-heaven. And this word refers to the apex of the sun at noonday. The time when the sun is at its greatest visibility, at its meridian. And the angel is flying, and it, in the original language, means continually, constantly flying. As if to say hovering over Earth's atmosphere for everyone to eventually see and hear. It's the greatest message he preaches. It's the everlasting gospel. What does that mean? Simply, it's the gospel that has been always preached. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it provides the means of everlasting life, salvation, entrance into the everlasting kingdom. It's the gospel that never changes. And all of the people that we have failed to reach in our lifetime or in successive generations' lifetimes, all of these people, every group, every tongue, every nation will be able to hear this angel. I think this is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 24, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I think he was speaking of this. Now, it says he preaches the gospel to every nation. The word is ethnos, where we get the term ethnic group. And then every tribe and every tongue, glosson, every dialect, every language, every ethnic group, every place, every corner of the earth will be able to hear. And then all of those people who love to argue and say, well, what about the pygmy in Africa who's never heard? Well, what about all those people in these far corners? They'll all hear. Every single one of them will hear this message. It's as if God gives one all-out final attempt to reach the world. This is the heart of God. Before he buries the world in judgment, ultimately, finally, and pours out the seven last plagues, a message of the gospel goes out, an invitation, an opportunity to change. They will have rejected the 144,000 Jews who witness. They will have rejected the two witnesses who do miraculous signs. They are killed and they are taken. They will have rejected the martyrs, most of whom they have killed. And now an angel is sent, flying through mid-heaven, pulpit of greatest visibility for every tribe, tongue, and people on the earth. Now, this brings up a false assumption. False assumption number one that the earth has, that people generally have when it comes to the gospel. And that is that the gospel is a Western religion. It's a way. It works in America, but it doesn't work anywhere else. It is not an absolute. It's just a cultural thing. Frank Zappa, the musician, once said, quote, missionary evangelism is the height of cultural arrogance. To go to somebody else's country and attempt through trickery or food or medicine to capture souls for Jesus presumes that the guy with the travel budget and the hypodermic needle has a spiritual edge over the native that he's going to save. Well, that may be politically correct, but it's spiritually incorrect. And the angel would beg to differ with Frank. In fact, the angel has a message for everyone. The gospel is for every ethnic group, every language, every tribe, every nation. Jesus said, for God so loved whom? The world. Not for God so loved America. God loves the world. And Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creation, every person. After the resurrection, he said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. It is the everlasting gospel, and because it's everlasting and it's the good news, it's for every creature. That's what Jesus said. That was always the commission of the disciples, the church, that the gospel goes to everyone. Just like diseases that require treatment, a lung disease, a heart disease, Hansen's disease, the treatment universally is the same. It's not like, well, he's got cancer, and in Africa we use aspirin, and that cures it. If you've got a disease, there are certain anecdotes, certain treatments, certain remedies that work everywhere. And the only cure for sin, the universal cure for sin, is the gospel. Nothing else. Notice also in verse 7, this first angel includes something else in this message. He says with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven, earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Included in the everlasting gospel now is a message to worship God as the creator. not Mother Earth, not Mother Nature, not Father Spirit, but Creator God. And one noticeable thing in the scripture, whenever preachers of God approach the pagan world, they almost always approach the pagan world from the vantage point of God is the creator. Even Paul did it when he went to Athens, and they had all of these gods. He spoke about the one true God who made heaven and earth, who is the creator. Why? Because that's the one big unanswered question. Where did all of this come from? There's got to be some great cause for such a great effect. And the great cause is God made it. Notice it says, He made heaven, earth, sea, and the springs of water. In other words, all of these elements testify of design. God designed it. The sun, 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit at its surface. The earth, 93 million miles from the sun. If the earth was 50 degrees colder or 50 degrees warmer, we wouldn't survive. Why is the sun 93 million miles away? Why not 93,000 or 130 million miles? Why is it 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit? Why not 1,200 or 120,000 or whatever? Why 12,000? It's all design. The earth rotates 365 times around the sun in a year. If it did it 36 times, our days and nights would be 10 times longer. We'd have extreme heat and extreme cold as other planets. Our air, a unique balance. It just so happens that it's a balance of in nitrogen and oxygen, 79% to 20% with 1% of variant gases. Why not 50% oxygen? Why not 2% oxygen? Why just that perfect balance for the biosphere? It's design. And when you see design, you think somebody designed it.
Well, of course, the most spectacular design in all creation is you. You and I are the epitome of God's creation. He made us in His image, and He made us to have a relationship with Him. Now, for those of us who follow Christ, that purpose will be fulfilled when history's last chapter closes and we're in heaven with Him. Will that be true of you? As you ponder your fate in eternity, we're going to have to wrap things up for today. But before we go, we wanted to let you know about a new resource we're offering this month called Alert 2.0, and a package featuring Skip Heitzik, Tim LaHaye, and much more.
What will be breaking news tomorrow? We could easily wake up to a major crisis in the Mideast. It's clear the pressure is growing. Iran is determined to build, buy, or steal nuclear weapons. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and the clock is ticking. The Bible gives us clues about the future, and though we can't know the day, we can know the season. And the changes we see should get our attention. We need to be aware. Alert 2.0 is a package of teachings featuring Tim LaHaye, former terrorist Kamal Saleem, Skip Heitzig, and General Jerry Boykin.
And I believe we're facing an even greater threat today than that we faced in the Cold War. I believe the threat today from this thing called radical Islam is the greatest threat that we've ever faced.
Alert 2.0 has over 3 hours of teaching content, including 2 bonus messages by Skip Heitzig from his Rumblings of War series.
If your only hope is that new home or the new car, well, enjoy it now, but it's all going to burn.
Alert 2.0, featuring messages from Tim LaHaye, General Jerry Boykin, Kalam Saleem, and 2 bonus teachings by Skip Heitzig. Order your copy today for just $20 at connectionradio.org or call 1-800-922-1888.
And when you contact us about that alert package, don't forget to ask for a copy of today's study. It's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping. And you can order one by calling 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. As always, anything you can share above that suggested donation will help support this ministry as we share God's Word all over the world. So if you've been blessed by the ministry and would like to help it bless others, think about sharing just a little extra with your donation today. Call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Talk more about how angels will set the record straight during history's last chapter. So be sure to come back and join us again next time. Here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.